Dean Mayrin is a former pro hockey player and boxer from Kingsville, right outside of Windsor. Join me, Drake DeMora, as I chat with Dean about his hockey career, transitioning into boxing, working with Bob Probert on The Love Guru, winning the infamous Battle of the Hockey Enforcers, and much more.
Hello, how you doing? It's Zach Caskey.
Adam Henrique.
Joe Siddle. Tom Crawford.
Todd Warner.
Brett Romberg.
TJ Laramie.
And Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody? My name is Drake DeMora, and thank you for streaming or downloading this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, Windsor's only local sports radio show and podcast, live on CJAM 99.1 FM every Thursday in Windsor and Detroit at 12:30 and replays on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Check out the radio show for highlights from the podcast interviews, lots of local sports news, and some good music here on the podcast. Available anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts, or directly go to WindCitySports.com. You can hear the full, uncut, unedited versions of interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and much more. We also have a Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube channel, so give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be. At WinCity underscore sports is our handle if you're trying to find us. WinCity is all one word, W-I-N-C-I-T-Y. Same thing with the podcast if you're trying to find us, and also leave us a follow, subscribe, whatever it is, and review on whatever you use. But today is Thursday, March 12th, 2020, and it's episode 186 of Wind City Sports. And this week on the show, we have a lot to talk about, and a lot to talk about with our guests as well. Before we get into all that, we have Dean Mayrin this week on the show. He's a former hockey player, then turned boxer. He's now a coach and runs a gym out in Alberta, a boxing gym, obviously, where they have an event coming up. So all you Alberta people out there, you'll be able to hear about that, and we'll talk about it again at the end of the show. But this guy's got quite the interesting story. I mean, started his hockey career late, jumped into pro ranks for the sole reason of fighting people, to be completely honest. I mean, he was a fourth line voice kind of guy. You can check him out actually on the Fourth Line Voice podcast. It was pretty informational and helpful for doing this one. But I found him through an episode of Spittin' Chicklets with Mike Scorgi, who talked about the Battle of the Hockey Enforcers, where I had never heard of that, but I had recently and finally watched Goon 2. Which is basically in that movie for people that haven't seen it. We'll talk about it with Dean as well. Actually, I think we talk about the movie itself, but a part of real life made itself to the silver screen yet again in this hockey movie, and it was all based on an event that Dean Mayrin actually won. It was basically a boxing fight on ice, and he won that championship, and that's how I said, if there's anyone from Windsor on this thing, I need to get them on the show. And sure enough, the guy that won it, so I'm right here in the Windsor area, grew up out in Kingsville, as we will hear about, so that's a pretty interesting one. He also got to be part of the movie, The Love Guru. He was an extra as a hockey player, obviously. If you haven't seen it, don't waste your time, but it's basically a movie with Mike Myers about, I don't even know what it's about, but it has something to do with one of the characters is a hockey player, Conrad from Weeds. I don't even know his name. He is a hockey player for some reason in this movie with Mike Myers and Mini-Me, where he is literally some sort of a love guru who helps him, you know, I guess with his troubles off the ice. But anyway, Dean and Bob Probert are in the movie as hockey players, just extras, little cameo/Easter eggs. And again, it's something that we talk about with Dean that I will remember Probert being a part of, but never realized who was sitting next to him on the LA Kings bench. We're going to get into that interview in a bit, but I do have a lot of other stuff to talk about. Right here at the beginning, we got to talk about Windsor's Michael Mulder, who has signed a multi-year deal with the Golden State Warriors in the NBA. Man, after signing, he signed a 10-day contract and impressing many on the team with his performance, starting games, and hanging with the best of them. He signed a multi-year contract. At the time of talking, a lot of details haven't been released yet, exactly, you know, how long and how much he's making, but, you know, even the league minimum for multi-years, so it's say 3 years, kid's made it. He's in the NBA, he's going to be a millionaire, and gets to play with frickin' Steph Curry, so not a big deal, not too bad. Mulder averaged 12.3 points and 3.2 rebounds and 1.2 assists in 6 games with the Warriors. So congratulations to him, working hard on getting him on the show, and going to try even harder now. So hopefully that can come to be soon. Before we jump into the interview with Dean Mayrin, we have to do our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week, as always. I didn't think that there was going to be any Athletes of the Week, but I think officially for now, all sports have wrapped up until football. But this week from the track and field team, it's Mandy Brunette and Anthony Atkinson. On Friday, Anthony had an impressive performance in the men's weight throw at the U Sports Championships, placing fourth overall in the event with a throw of 17.04 meters. Meanwhile, Lancers sophomore Mandy Brunette captured a bronze medal in the women's triple jump on the final day of competitions at the U Sports Championship Saturday, which was held in Edmonton. Her jump of 12.19 meters is a new personal best and claimed the Lancers' lone medal of the championship. So congratulations to both of them on becoming our Windsor Lancers Athletes of the Week, likely the last until football season, via golancers.ca. But now it's time to get into it. We have a lot to talk about with Dean Mayrin. Here we go. Our next guest right now on the phone, born in Windsor, Ontario. He began his athletic career as a hockey player, going through the junior and pro ranks as an enforcer. Might be best known for winning the Battle of the Hockey Enforcers, and now a boxer and operator at Titans Boxing Club in Cold Lake, Alberta. Dean Mayrin, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, Jake.
Absolutely. So, like I said, you've grown up in Windsor, Essex, I think, Amherstburg. Just kind of tell me about kind of the area you grew up, school, and stuff like that.
Yeah, Amherstburg, Ontario, just half an hour outside of Windsor. We actually lived kind of like a cottage community, about 7 minutes out of town. As far as I'm concerned, it's the best possible place to grow up, surrounded by bush and water. Constantly had fun things to do with all my buddies, and yeah, we were skating up the pond, high school jump, and all kinds of great things like that.
Amherstburg kind of gets a bad reputation, but it is beautiful out there on the water.
Oh, it sure is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and I forgot to mention off the air, actually, so I was listening to some of that Fourth Line podcast, Fourth Line Voice podcast with yourself, so took a little bit of stuff from there, obviously, just to kind of get to know you a little bit, and we'll dig into some other stuff. So, like, as mentioned on there, you played for the Kingsville Comets Junior C team, pretty much the highest level you played, or at least around here. But I'm assuming as a kid, like you said, you were playing with your boys and stuff, and you mentioned on there, you know, you're kind of a late start, but at a young age, were you trying to make it as a hockey player at some point?
Well, yeah, I didn't start playing hockey until I was 14. My brother was playing since he was 5, so I was always around the rink. I just wasn't really something that I wanted to do at the time, but I always enjoyed skating and playing road hockey and stuff like that. So I finally got up the courage or decided to play when I was 14, and I didn't have the skill level to advance at the time, but as I got bigger, stronger, and put more effort into the game, that's where some things opened up for me, and I took the light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Just like as you mentioned and talked about on there, it's like you didn't really have that, like, you know, I'm going to be a pro hockey player kind of mentality for your whole life, obviously, because you kind of started late. So I was wondering, like, when it kind of started to pick up, I suppose.
I didn't really decide that until my coach, Richard Robshan, when I was in Kingsville. After a season was done, he brought me into his office and said, you know, if you wanted to, you could probably make a career out of playing, you know, the minors, who knows what happens, but you can get paid to do this for a little while if you wanted to. And so that was it. Once I heard that, That's all I thought about. I woke up thinking about it, went to bed thinking about it, and that's all I drove for.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, 17, 18, thinking you could get paid money to do this, then, fuck, sign me up, right?
And travel all over the world and meet good people. And, 90% of the people that we all grow up and know, they get up every morning, and they go to a job, and that's their life forever. So I took that little bit of that little chance at kind of going around and getting to see the world and experiencing something different for however long it's going to last. So I worked my ass off to get there.
Yeah, you definitely got to do a lot in your life around hockey and sports and various stuff, as we'll get into.
Before we get into that, I know you only really played like 1 year junior, I believe, but did you ever get close to a crack at the OHL, or did you ever, I'm sure you wanted to play or maybe get a fight in the barn?
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, I was starting at 14. I just didn't have the skill to play at the OHL level. I was counting, Hockey News, they ranked me as the toughest hockey player in Essex County, which was huge for me at the time because there was two junior B teams in that, and then obviously the Winter Spitfires. Jeff Kugel was going to be the number one, but he just got expelled, or he just got kicked out of the league like 6 months before that or something like that. I 100% wish I could have played for the Spitfires, but like I said, I just didn't have the skills.
Mm-hmm. Or even just play against them, they get to play in the barn or something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's no secret that you're an enforcer for the teams that you did play for. Was that always your role, as far as you can remember?
Yeah. It was just something that I was born to do. Like, it felt natural for me. And even outside of hockey, that's the kind of person I was. And I enjoyed doing it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was going to ask, if you actually like to do it, obviously. And to go back a little bit about the rankings there, I mean, in the 90s, that was a huge deal, I'm sure, right, to be ranked over in hockey. So obviously there had to have been some sort of spark there to keep you to want to keep doing that, you know?
Yeah, like, I was obsessive. Like, I would wake up in the morning, go for a run, grab my equipment, show up at the ice park, and then just wait for someone to let me play with them on a team. And sometimes I'd play 3 hours at a time, just with a new group, whether it was old guys, young guys, whatever. I just wanted to skate as much as I could. And then I'd go home, grab something to eat, and I'd go to the gym for however long. I lived and breathed trying to become a better hockey player.
Mm-hmm. At least that rink part, that's the definition of a rink rat.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's obviously you went on to pro ranks and you ended up playing in the WPHL first after your last year with Kingsville there. You're off to Tupelo, Mississippi, if I even said that right. So how did that come to be? Did your buddy Jeff Pollock recruit you out there?
Actually, it was, I hired an agent at the time, and he got me a trial contract with Tupelo, Mississippi in the WPHL.
Okay, so obviously there was some connection there.
That was my first time ever flying from flying out of Windsor. It was a complete culture shock. I'd never, you know, just like you see from the movies, like the red sand and the, you know, those weeping willow trees. And yeah, it was a pretty amazing experience.
Yeah, I can only imagine. So you're pretty much, you know, refined and only really knew Windsor and Essex County, I suppose, except for maybe your time traveling with the junior C team, right? You pretty much just knew around here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, I wasn't sure if, like, how much time you really spent in Windsor. I know you were born here, but now you're out in Alberta. You played all around the world, so I was kind of wondering or worried that you'd say, like, I was born there, but that was pretty much it.
No, I love Windsor and Essex County. I love the water. I love the trees. I love everything about the environment there. It's just, when I retired from hockey, there wasn't a lot of opportunities for me to jump into a career, so I got lucky and got an oil and gas gig out in Cold Lake, so that's why I moved family over here.
Gotcha, and we'll get to that for sure. I mean, we're pretty much, you know, kind of go through that hockey career. So as you went around from the WPHL, the UHL, so they both seemed to be pretty good leagues at the time too, and then you played Senior A as well. So what was kind of that mentality, I guess? Did you just see that opportunity there? What's the story how you ended up going to Quebec?
Oh, that's, it's not actually like Senior A league, it's a professional league.
Is it?
Like, there's different levels. There are Senior A there, but it's called the North American Professional League, so it's LNAH, because they say that.
No.
Right. But,
yeah, I think before that, at least the DB list, I got to pull it up here. It was a different team that you were with.
The Mission of St. James, which is Queens first team that I went to.
Okay.
And that league at the time was ranked. Like, it was the hockey, the toughest hockey team in the world by far.
Yeah.
Each team had five to even sometimes 10 guys. And then all of them had, you know, one or two heavyweights. So it was a super, super tough league. So I thought I'd give that a shot.
Yeah, I mean, if you look up, just Google your name, a lot of LNAH fights come up. As pretty obvious, you got one with Donald Brashear on there. So I'm sure you're getting some exposure out there doing what you're doing in that league.
Yeah, because everyone was talking about that league at the time, how tough it was. It was a bit of a sideshow. I mean, you know, they had the music playing during the fights and the golf and the first arrow. All the fights were way more of a show than any other league that I played at. Everyone's dropping the bucket and squaring off, and the lightning squaring off. It was quite the show, but it was a wild, wild west of hockey.
Definitely, man. So when Brashear came in there, did you know you wanted to try and square up with him?
Oh, 100%. And so many guys did.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel bad for him for that. But, obviously, you get a guy of that caliber. He's played in the NHL for a long time. Done it with all the best. You want to test yourself against someone like that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and like I said, he made it to YouTube, and that ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you had a pretty quick career. You ran through a couple of leagues, as mentioned, but towards the end of it, and this is during your time in Quebec, and as we were talking off the air, this is when you won the Battle of the Hockey Enforcers Tournament. I thought this was wild, as we were saying. It's pretty much featured in Goon 2 with Sean William Scott there, which you actually had a pretty cool story about almost being involved in that, right?
Yeah, that was a ton of fun. That was... The timing was right for me. Like, I'd broken my hand a bunch of times a couple years before that, and started the season and be in the lineup for 2 months and out for 2 months with a broken hand back in. So everything lined up for me beautifully at that time. I was boxing on the side, and my fight game on the ice had come together quite a bit. Like, I fell a lot. The balance was good. I couldn't, you know, really find my groove. I still had some good fights, but there was a lot of them that didn't end like I wanted to because I fell. So when I went to Quebec and started fighting heavyweight guys all the time and more frequently, I started working on the boxing. And then, like I said, it all came together, my balance and then my style, how I chose to fight. So when they put that ad out there and got it touched me, I jumped right on it.
That's crazy, man. Like, again, so people that don't really, that might not be familiar with it, you can look it up, but I kind of want to go over, like, the whole kind of event and, like, the rules and stuff, I suppose. Like, it's basically like boxing on ice, right? Which is pretty fitting for you. It had that hockey feel, but it was basically like three one-minute rounds or something like that, KOs, decisions, judges, and everything.
It was only a one-minute fight, and it was a very, very situation because here you got, I think it was 16 total guys, and we all knew each other from one place or another, or we played together or heard of each other or whatever, and we all got along like two peas in a pod. We arrived 2 days before the event, all checked into the hotel, we had like a team group meeting kind of thing, over rules, how the night's going to play out, and literally, like, it was just like going to a camp where, you know, everyone just was cut from the same cloth, we all get along, but we knew we were all going to punch each other.
Yeah, actually, you guys say that in the, there's like a coverage video of it from some news source out there in Vancouver where it was held. There's interviews with all the guys, and they say, like, I wasn't trying to, like, long-term hurt them, just trying to temporarily hurt them so I can win, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, too.
Yeah, that's funny. And you won the thing, so, I mean, that had to be pretty cool for you. I'm sure you guys had a lot of fun during that whole thing.
Oh yeah, it was a blast. My face didn't like it too much. I had a bunch of funny rebels all over the place, but my bank account liked it.
So what was like the prize? Like, was there like a dollar amount prize or something? Like, winner gets whatever.
Yeah, $62,000.
Oh my god. To do and like you said, it was supposed to be 16 guys. We ended up doing however many fights, and it was just a one-day event, right?
Yeah, Yeah, it was, I think the pay-per-view was 3 hours total.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two really, really close fights on there that could have went either way, and they were controversial, but I'm happy with the outcome. And
Yeah,
it was 3 hours, and then they had four pools, and I think if you lost one, you dropped down, but I ended up fighting four times that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically once you go through that kind of like round robin sort of thing in the pool, you go on to, you made it to the tournament. For people listening, you know, then it was like a four-guy tournament at that point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like when I'm watching that video, it seems like it was well received. Like people were talking about how there was a lot of negativity around it, but it ended up being a successful event. So I was surprised that there wasn't more. Was there supposed to be more, do you know?
That's a really good question. I don't know, man. I don't know why they haven't had more. I know that getting the sanctioning for the promoters to put it on was a real challenge.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have a location locked down and getting everything planned out, and then they just couldn't get it sanctioned anywhere. I'm pretty sure the only reason why they were able to do it where they were was because it was on a reserve in Grand Prairie, and there was different rules there. I'm pretty sure that's why they were able to do it there.
That's crazy.
They did have another one. I think it was in like England or something like that.
Well, now I got to find that, because I couldn't find much else on it. You know, it just had the results of that one event, and that's it.
Yeah, it wasn't the same owners or promoters, and they called it something different. And it didn't get nearly as much hype.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, I'm sure it was a tough thing to run. I mean, it's not something you see every day.
Yeah, exactly.
I just thought that was so wild, man. Like, as mentioned, you listen to Spittin' Chiclets, like we do. You heard the Mike Scorgi one. He's talking about that. And I said, if anyone from Windsor is on there, I gotta find them. And sure enough, the winner is born right here in Windsor.
Yeah, Mike gave me a pretty good shout-out there, and I'd like to return the favor. He's a very tough guy as well, who has done it all over the map. Like, literally, he's played for a whole bunch of teams and tested and true and fought all the heavyweights and all the leagues. So, yeah, my hat's off to him.
All right, a true warrior.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's cool to see a Windsor guy win that thing, to kind of go back to the rankings like you talked about. Always known to be, you know, some tough people coming out of Windsor. So it was pretty fitting to see, a guy like yourself winning that thing.
Yeah, and Mike Segroli, actually, he played in, I'm pretty sure he played Tecumseh Bulldogs for a season, or at least a short time.
So there's more connections there. Maybe I have to get him on.
Yeah.
There you go. So as we were talking about, you got to do a lot of cool stuff through sports in your life and much more. And one thing I didn't get to on the podcast, but as we talked about, you were kind of reached out to be part of Goon 2. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for you. But the Love Guru, you were part of that kind of terrible movie, sort of a hockey, with the Mike Myers and Bob Probert, as you mentioned, right? So how did that all come to me? And just tell me a little bit about going down to Toronto.
Yeah, that was perfect timing. I was in Windsor, and work dried up, and I was kind of looking around for work for a couple of days, and one of my best friends, Brian Rasmussen, who lives in Toronto, he gave me a call. He's like, hey, do you want to be in a movie? And I'm like, well, why not? Are we going to get paid for it? He said, sure will. So I packed my gear and headed up to Toronto, and then we did, I think we did 4 days of tryouts, basically, and these tryouts were very interesting. We had cameras set up on the ice, umbrellas for lighting, and they just had us do super, super basic drills, like cross over on the red line, stops and starts, and north star drill out of the corner, shoot the puck on net. And after 3 days, I was the first one picked for the LA Kings.
Okay, so were you basically like on the bench, like a extra, or is there like a scene where you can kind of point yourself out?
Yeah, there's like eight tiny little scenes. There's one specific scene that's a little bit long, like a couple seconds long. It's me, myself, Bob Probert, Jim Thompson, Brian Rasmussen, a couple other fellas. We're all on the bench, and Mike Myers says something to us, and we all kind of look on the ice at the main player for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we all kind of give him a scowl and a mean face. And you can make me out there. And then as well, Probert and I, we hit Rami Malko, Jeremy Roenick, or not Jeremy Roenick, the main player there for the Toronto Maple Leafs. We hit him from behind, goes up against the glass, and kind of himself. You know?
Okay, yeah, I was going to bring that up, because I vividly remember that when someone says, like, Bob Probert was in Love Guru, that's what I, like, pictured.
Yeah, and if you're going to try and find the other one, my dad will be sitting there with a remote, because it's so quick, and you're like, okay!
Well, I was going to say, yeah, now I got to find it for the Instagram, right?
It was, like, that whole experience was just a blast. You had, you know, we were called skilled extras is what we were. So, basically, we had the Toronto Maple Leafs, a full roster, and then we had the LA Kings, and there was a couple other teams they filled with skilled extras as well. I think Pittsburgh was one of them. Detroit was another one. So you basically had roughly 50 hockey players that all hung out at the rink together for 3 months, depending on who was on that day or not. And what an incredible experience as far as learning what goes into making that, making it look real out there.
Yeah, like just like the little things, right?
Yeah, like we would set up, we'd set up lights and cameras for a couple hours, and then we'd have to go stand in front of the light so they can get the light right, and then we're all dinking around on the ice with pucks, and they gotta keep telling us to stop like a bunch of kids. But you can't put a bunch of hockey players on the ice and not and give them a puck and tell them to be quiet and not do anything. It was so interesting seeing all the different aspects of how they get that picture right.
Yeah, that's cool. Did you get to meet Mike Myers and all that stuff too?
Actually, I didn't myself. And Jim Thompson, towards the end of filming, I think there was 2 weeks left, we went up to his trailer outside and tried to get a picture with him. And he said he was in character, so he didn't want to come out. He sent one of his little assistants out there. So we were kind of choked about that. But if that's how they run their show, how do we argue with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that Bob didn't even get to meet him, but obviously another Windsor guy. Did you guys know each other at all before, or is that, like, for you kind of cool to be able to meet and work with him?
Oh, that was my highlight of that whole experience. I grew up idolizing him and never had the chance to meet him. And Jim Thompson, who's from Toronto, he was going to do a Legends tournament, and Bob was going to be in it. And he said, I'm going to see Bob this weekend. I told him, he said, hi. I'm like, actually, I don't know him. I haven't got to meet him yet. He's like, oh, I'll talk to him about Jim. Lo and behold, when he came back on Monday, he brought Bob with him to be in the movie. And then Bob and I were the only two people from Windsor. Everyone else was from Toronto, so we drove back and forth from Windsor together.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was so cool, man. He's such a wicked guy, and it was so good just getting to know him, and everything was just normal. We were just like, we got along famously.
That's crazy, man. And like that's when you're talking about podcasts before, that's the one thing I wish I would have started earlier so I could have Bob on, but it's a shame that won't happen, you know?
Yeah, it is sad. He's well missed and well respected.
Absolutely. So before we get into the whole boxing thing, you mentioned that you were pretty much doing it while you were playing hockey. Did you start to kind of train to have a little on ice help, maybe off ice as well?
Yeah, big time. But more so, this is crazy. In that Quebec, what people do is they take two top enforcers, two number one enforcers, or two guys that were, you know, fan favorites from the team, and they put them on the main event of a boxing card throughout the summer, all throughout Quebec. And it was a beautiful thing because it was a great way for us to stay in shape in the summertime. Plus, we were getting paid pretty good money for those fights because we were the main event and we were drawing in a whole bunch more. Like, we weren't just drawing in the boxing fans. Now, these boxing events were drawing in all the hockey fans because they wanted to see these two goons go at it in the ring.
Yeah.
So it was a great way to pass the summer by and make a little extra money throughout the summer while you're not playing and stay in great shape.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that kind of led you to where you are now in a sense, but obviously you were still doing that. You did the hockey enforcers before you were even done playing. So at one point you decided to step away from playing and kind of start a career. You said you were an iron worker down here in Windsor too, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, so it got to a point where I just couldn't I couldn't keep my hand healthy. It was breaking all the time, and it was just, I feel like I was at the top of my game. I was finally starting to kind of be comfortable on the ice and better able to make the right play. I was never a good hockey player. I had to work my ass off for any little bit I got extra. But I couldn't stay healthy with my hand, so I decided to hang him up and go to be a real boy someplace.
And I ended up coming back home, and I'm assuming you were still in boxing at that point too, right?
I did box as a hobby at the time, but it wasn't something that I wanted to pursue, because in Windsor or anywhere else not associated to that hockey league, I wasn't going to get paid. So I just tried to kind of buckle down and find a career. And like I said, I got the job as an iron worker, but it's just, at the time, the recession was hard in Windsor, and there was not a lot of opportunity to stay working and make, you know, significant money. So I took the opportunity to come out here and get into oil and gas in Alberta. And throughout that time, I started training people in the garage kind of thing. And since then, it's kind of evolved, and I got more and more people that were interested. And Cold Lake didn't have a boxing club, and there's a lot of tough people from over here, you know, hardworking rednecks over here, and they just didn't have an opportunity to do that anywhere. So it's going really well.
Absolutely. So now, as mentioned, Titans Boxing Club. So are you just kind of like the coach, operator, and kind of running the place there? What's kind of all your roles if you're doing anything else?
We've got four owners, myself, Tyler Chumbut, Eric Paples, and Jordy Blythe. And between the four of us, we keep the doors open in that place, and we try and be as hands-on as we can with our clients. So we're open Monday through Friday, 5:30 till 8:30. I think we're going to expand our schedule now and try and open a little bit on Saturday. And really, our goal is to increase the level of competition here in Alberta. I mean, we are so far behind the States when it comes to boxing.
Yeah.
And, you know, half the clubs around here, they're open, you know, 2 or 3 days a week. There's just, there's not a market for it. And it's really, really hard for a Canadian pro boxer, for example, to excel and succeed and get the recognition and the marketing that they need.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Because I didn't mention or notice that you had a few fighters on the website there, and you guys were doing events as part of another affiliation or something, just back in the fall or spring, I believe. So it's good to grow the sport, right? And I guess you guys are collectively doing that. How did you guys all kind of form together?
Just by chance. There was three of us wanted to make it happen, and we didn't have. We all kind of worked shift work, and we didn't really know how we could run it successfully, not having standard hours. So when Eric came in, he's in the military, and he's available every single night. So he was the key factor in us being able to make this happen and keep the doors and the steady schedule open. And we have an event coming up here shortly, May 9th, Raymond Floor, and we're going to try and do like a 1920s circus theme.
Oh, cool.
Throughout the event, but we're paired up with some guys in town here who are into the plays and the cinema stuff, and they're going to put together all that other stuff, all the side stuff like that, and then we'll put together the boxing, obviously. But we're really, really excited to put that event on. That's always been a dream of mine, is to, first of all, pass on everything that I've learned and watch kids grow and put a smile on their face. And then, you know, when a kid comes up to me after the boxing class and says thank you with a big smile on his face because I spent some time with him, you can't beat that.
That's what it's all about, man. It's just, again, those little things, right, make a big difference.
Yeah, big time.
So now, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems, you know, you're just pretty much the regular guy, just Dino. You're a boxing coach on the side. And hockey's almost, you know, in the past, and just kind of, you know, looking back at it, or does that hockey fighter mentality ever come into play trading guys in the gym?
I would say it 100% does.
Yeah.
I don't I don't like having to admit this, but like this, the world is pussifying at a rapid rate right now. Like, you just don't get that same hard nose, you know, I'll do anything to win kind of attitude. I mean, it's obviously still there, but it's, I don't think it's around as much as it should be. And that doesn't mean you gotta, you know, be a fighter or you know how to dig deep, but just having some passion about one thing or another, and not letting your insecurities get in the way, and taking the bull by the horns, pushing through to make something happen.
No, I agree with you 100%, man. I mean, all the best out there, man. Thanks for taking the time to do this.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks, man.
All right. Drake Damore back here on Wind City Sports. There is Dean freaking Mayrin on the Wind City Sports podcast. Man, what a conversation with him. I felt like it was just the tip of the iceberg the whole time. Kind of like, this is it. I feel like there should be more to it. But I mean, look at all the cool stuff he's been able to do. And that's actually hopefully the last terrible record. It wasn't that bad, actually, either. Not to it obviously isn't his fault. Sometimes the convenience of doing these interviews is not so good, but a little bit of background noise and static, I suppose, whatever you want to call it. But I think we pulled it off. It was a good convo with Dean all the way out in Alberta. Did that quite a while ago. Don't know why I held off on it. I mean, again, I'm just trying to spread the sports out, as you may have noticed and will notice in the next few weeks. But yeah, it's been a while since that one was released, and again, I mentioned last week I pushed it back just for whatever reasons. Doesn't really matter, I guess, but there it is. You know, going through the hockey ranks, I didn't get to clarify that with him on his DB, hockey DB. He's listed in a different, I believe, senior A or whatever pro league, not the LNAH that we were talking about. But before he jumped over there, he was playing in another league, and I mean, it's not really important, but it was in Quebec, the QSPHL for the St. John Mission, which I think actually ended up turning into the Sorel Tracy Mission, who he played for in the LNAH. It's pretty actually an infamous league. And we barely even touched upon, you know, playing in the WPHL with Jeff Pollock, a former guest here, and I think he played with Screwy Todd St. Louis as well. I know he mentioned him, but yeah, I mean, the guy's crossed paths with a lot of people that the folk hero hockey people would definitely know, and got to be able to do some cool stuff after that. You know, he started boxing, winning fights. I mean, it's pretty fitting for him. I mean, he was a fighter, right? So he finally found a good avenue to go into another pro sport. He's now coaching people for the future and running a business out in Alberta while he's still, you know, he's just working day to day to support his family and support himself and, you know, live the best life that he can. And all that, he did that fucking Last Enforcers of Hockey thing. I can't believe that they didn't do another one, but we're gonna put some footage of that on the social medias as well, you know, highlighting our guests this week and watching them beat the piss out of people in hockey equipment with MMA gloves on ice. Fucking unbelievable. But we're gonna get into that, and I'm also gonna put out some cool stuff with him, Bob Probert, and basically clips and photos from the Love Guru. If you've never seen it, at least just little things where you can see there he is in the movie. Cool stuff, you know, to, like I always said, with Dakota Shepley, you know, I like to learn these other things about athletes. On paper, this guy looks like a hockey player who seems to have done some boxing. Cool stuff. You can move on from there and learn that he's in movies and, you know, traveled the road with Bob Probert and countless probably things he's been able to do through hockey. So it's pretty cool. Another Windsor guy that we like to highlight here. And speaking of which, we're going to do some local sports news and start off with hockey. What's going on with our fucking Windsor Spitfires, man? They can't seem to get back to the status they were in 2019, as they were the top team, one of, in the Western Conference, and top 10 in the CHL rankings, I think back in like October, November, and we're staying there for a while. But they had lost three in a row again last week, two in OT, so still gaining 2 points, but it all started last Thursday in Windsor against Owen Sound in an OT loss. Saturday, they lost in extra time again in Flint and wrapped it up by falling to the Rangers on Saturday. They go on these, you know, 3 or 4, sometimes even 5-game losing streaks. They win one and then they're back to it. That's how it's been the last couple months, at least. It's been a rough 2020 for them. They have two regular home seasons, two regular season home games left. One is tonight at the WFCU Center when they take on the second place Saginaw Sting, and they will also play tomorrow and Saturday in Guelph and Owen Sound on the road. Their next and last home game of the year is next Thursday, but no need to fear. The Spits still have secured a playoff spot no matter what, which will likely be starting at the end of the month. Right now, it looks like they'll be meeting Eric Wellwood's Flint Firebirds in the first round of the postseason. More information on Wind City Sports or WindsorSpitfires.com. Always check out our podcast, though. The St. Clair College Saints women's basketball team won a silver medal at the OCAA Championships, hosted at the Sportplex here in Windsor this weekend, knocking off George Brown and Humber in the quarter and semifinals. The Saints faced off against Fanshawe in the finals on Sunday, falling to the Falcons with a final score of 93-80. The men were in Sarnia at Lambton College, my old stomping grounds, for the men's OCAA championship, where they lost in the quarterfinal to the eventual bronze medal champions, Seneca College. So congratulations to our St. Clair Saints basketball teams on making it to the championships this weekend. And as mentioned in the Athletes of the Week, a few track and field athletes from the Lancers were recognized at the Youth Sports Championship last week, but as of now, no sports are on the calendar until football season kicks off in August. The Windsor Express picked up a big win on Friday at the WFCU Center over the St. John's Edge. 112-94 was the final score, with Chris Jones as the player of the game with 22 points. They played at home again last night at the WSU Center against Halifax. I don't have any notes on that right now, but the Express do have a tough division in the NBL of Canada, and the story of this season is more so off the court, in my opinion. Although the Express product is declining, the attendance has been stagnant. I've only made it to 2 games, sorry, but it doesn't seem like much of an improvement for the attendance. This will be a vital sign as it goes into the next season and into the potential move to Windsor Arena. So we'll see what happens. But it looks like that's all this week on Wind City Sports. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here every Thursday with a brand new episode of the Wind City Sports podcast and radio show. The radio show airs live on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit, and replays on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. You can hear highlights from the interviews here on the podcast, lots more local sports news, and some good music as well. But you can join me every Thursday on the podcast here on WindCitySports.com or any podcast platform, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. First thing in the morning, you can hear the full uncut, edited, and unedited versions of these interviews with local athletes and coaches. And as you heard on the podcast, pretty much the same format every week. Give us a like, follow, subscribe on anything you might use, any social media. We got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and a YouTube channel. Like, follow, subscribe at WinCity_sports. WinCity, WinCity, is all one word. And you can also follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram at Drake DeMore. But until next week, smell you later.